Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better, and everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the truly hard seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio, Friday edition of the program, Valentine's Day edition of the program. It's a loving 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford.
I can feel the love.
Double birds from Davey Hudson. Aimed this direction and Houston's general direction.
Really didn't feel like I deserved that one.
We got basketball Bill Will ready to get you all set for the weekend. Tennessee, South Carolina, tons of other games. An XFL showdown.
Nah.
Major League Baseball being stupid.
It's a tune-up game.
And we have to get update on Dog. Speaking of love.
What are you doing to me? Two days in a row, leading with Dog, huh?
I mean, you led the show yesterday. What day could be more? What loves more than a dog, Houston? What's more unconditional than a friendly, furry canine?
She came back looking for me at 5:30. That's love.
It was dinner time.
We haven't fed her at that time of day. Haven't really fed her at all. A couple pieces of beef jerky. The amount of people who want me to break the law and steal this dog, it's kind of remarkable.
I like the person's like, I'll give you some money for the adoption. And somebody's like, I don't think kidnapping is adoption.
Well, now they're saying just go and offer them $10 and see if they'll take it. Just start the bidding low.
Dog napping, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the $10 plan now, because if you start that low, they might be like, nah, I want $1,000. And it's like,
nah, you start super low, so they think you're broke. And maybe they are also broke and they could really use the $10. Buys a lot of gas station big gulps.
I don't know. Maybe just go one offer, so there's no negotiation.
$50.
Yep. And if they're like, nope, so okay,
they can get high off that.
Whatever. Easy.
I'd have no idea. Not up to date on the street prices of certain stimulants. But she was there after the show yesterday. Her name is Saya.
After
I'd call her Joe, or JoJo, I think.
Triple J?
Nope.
Double J?
Yeah, JoJo.
All right.
She looks like a JoJo.
When they told you it was Saya, I don't know if you can give a good description of how it sounded. Was it just pretty normal, like sigh, or is sigh?
Well, he didn't have as many teeth as I was expecting. So it was her name's Sia.
Yeah, it was.
And I was like, Sia
with two full syllables.
Sia, ha, Sia. I was like, okay, cool. Now I know. But then she answers to dog. She did not answer to Sia. She just cocked her head crooked. It was like,
You said that. She looked at you.
She looks at me all the time. Cody said. Cody called her a vicious street dog because she growled at him.
She does bark and growl.
Only when she never growled or barked at me. She only growls and barks at people who she's scared of. Maybe you don't scare her. You ever think about that?
Do I scare her?
You did yesterday.
When?
I don't know. She wouldn't even come up to you. She did towards the end, kinda. Yeah. She sits in my lap. She licks me. Happy Valentine's Day indeed. We'll see.
What are you going to do?
I was really worried. I mean, it got cold last night. I was like 27 degrees. I was worried she was going to be outside this morning. And then I mean, she would have been in here. I would have dog-napped her to bring her in here, and they would have never seen her again. But I do think they took her inside last night. So that's a check.
Yeah.
But
So you're now grading other people's dog caretaking abilities.
Yeah, I'm Robin Hood. If you aren't responsible with your stuff, I'm going to take it and give it to somebody who needs it. Me. I'm going to steal the dog for myself and for the dog.
Yeah.
I would be saving. The first time I see an injury on that dog, a cut on the paw, a scrape, a limp, I'm going and I'm hunting somebody down, taking it out on them, then taking the dog out.
Admiral Vet.
For years. Pets are like family.
They are.
Just saying. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see today if she's out there. It's going to be pretty cold. They might not let her out outside as much today. That would be a good thing. I would be okay with that. But I swear the first time she has a cut, a scrape, a limp, it's over.
She's very healthy at the moment.
She's a little skinny.
A little bit.
Little skinny. I might have to start sneaking some treats just to fatten her up. Especially if we've got a little cold front coming through. She's got to stay warm. Give her some of those Sherry's berries out there. Non-chocolate, of course. Moving on.
Just lots of love in your life.
Just love is in the air. Everywhere. Did you see the good news yesterday that was also coupled with some bad news from yesterday?
Talking about the asteroid?
No, we'll get to that later because I do want to... It's a very timely topic given the return of Tennessee football and the subsequent asteroid. But we had a return to practice yesterday. Josiah Jordan James.
JoJo.
Not that JoJo, the other JoJo. Returned to practice.
Maybe it's a sign.
But absent from practice was Eve Pons. So, it's a give and take with this basketball team. The sound that you just made, by the way, was the exact sound I said as I read the Grant Ramey article on 24/7. Just, we can't get anything right. Grant Ramey of 24/7 Sports writes that apparently Pons, as well as Fulkerson, were not at 100% during the Arkansas game. Okay. Sheesh, Arkansas. I mean, bro.
They think they're going to make the tournament.
Buddy. It was kind of that's like a double slap in the face. We beat you badly, and we were without one player at any percentage, and then Fulkerson and Pons weren't at 100%. They still gave you a combined 24 points. I'll take it. No, excuse me, 26. Pons had 12. Forgot about that other dunk. Pons did not practice on Thursday at Pratt Pavilion. It is currently unclear if the issue for Pons is an illness or an injury. Barnes said after the Arkansas game that it was illness that kept Fulkerson off the floor between the loss to Kentucky on Saturday and the win over the Razorbacks on Tuesday. So he didn't practice Sunday or Monday.
It's just high-low action. They just passed the virus.
Got it.
Yep.
Now you got it.
Right.
Now, it's always like this with teams. I mean, this is just the way it goes. One person gets it, and then it just doot, 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 just ping-pongs back
and forth. And who are you going to pass the ball to the most? Your post buddy, right?
Yeah.
You just get
Not Vescovi's going to get it next. I don't know. I don't know. South American immune system. We talked about that. That's why we felt like he was maybe safe from coronavirus. Which we might want to get into that too, by the way. Really, really bad day yesterday for the coronavirus. Not for the virus, but for people. And
right.
Well, again, yeah, the virus is doing well.
Yeah, the virus.
Bad day for the virus.
Virus is thriving. Dang. Sad, actually. Here's what Rick Barnes said. There are a couple of guys dealing with whatever it is. Whatever it is. The trainers allegedly told him that Jalen Johnson apparently wasn't feeling that great yesterday either, but that Fulkerson is feeling better. So, Jalen Johnson, Pons, Folky, but also better. I don't know what to expect about Pons, though. Seems like Pons, he hurt his finger a while back. Was it last year he almost got his face broken? Or did he get his face broken? Do you remember that? They talked about the orbital injury and he had the bandage on it. These rough practices, not great.
Just that James returns to practice.
After missing the last four games with a groin injury.
But Barnes says he did some stuff on the treadmill. I think
he said he had done.
Okay, I think
he had done some things on the treadmill
a little bit
in practice, but
today.
Still day to day. But he's at least on the floor, getting ready to catch this bug that's going around.
I mean, that sounds like he still might not even play.
We're sandbagging Frank Martin.
Okay,
yeah, right. you got a sandbag. Speaking of Frank Martin and his South Carolina Gamecocks. Barnes was asked about the turnaround that the Gamecocks have shown recently because they are on a little bit of a tear for how good we thought they might be. Rick Barnes said, one, they're playing fast, which I think is the misconception about South Carolina, that they like to play slow and grind it out, which they can do that, but they're playing much faster. Their guards are playing well. They just run a little spread game where they're doing a great job of working the elbow area and cutting and playing right there. Great quote. Rick, appreciate it. They're getting good guard play, getting good play from everyone. So South Carolina on the up and up. Tennessee maybe a little under the weather. But maybe going to get Josiah back.
Maybe.
With the groin. Four games. It's been like a month and change now.
Four games is 2 weeks.
But hasn't it? We mapped it out, though. Hadn't it been like it'll be 2.5 weeks since he played his last game? You're right. Two, four, Kansas. Something like that. Anyway. How are we feeling about tomorrow now? Does this make you feel better, worse, same?
I thought this has been a coin flip ever since the last game. I mean, it doesn't even matter.
Like, South Carolina is a 54% favorite on the matchup predictor.
The way South Carolina's been up and down this year and the way Tennessee's been up and down this year, you could say two guys plus or minus for either team are missing. I still wouldn't have a good feeling about it. Like, you could tell me Pons is out and Josiah's going to play. I still think Tennessee has a good shot to win it. You could tell me Tennessee's fully healthy and South Carolina's got a guy go down. That wouldn't matter. Like, I got no feel.
It's weird to not have a good feel going into a game that we got another must-win, can't lose on the schedule. This is, what, the fifth one of those this year? Is this the fifth must-win, can't lose?
Where's South Carolina in the net? I mean, it's a road game. Like, this could turn into a quad one win if you win it, and their soft schedule, they kind of win out.
How does that work, though? Is it at the time?
At the end.
It is at the end? Yeah. They go back and kind of re-rank everything?
Yeah, it just re-ranks constantly.
Okay.
So they usually update every 2 days.
So your schedule gets better or worse as the season goes, depending on, like, Tennessee's keeps getting worse with Washington and Memphis and
VCU.
All these teams.
Yeah. South Carolina played 2 days ago?
Yeah, they played Wednesday. Tennessee got an extra day of rest this week based on the schedule.
This is updated through games of February the 12th. And
that would have been Wednesday.
South Carolina's at 65.
65.
They were at 75 before that. Tennessee's at 63.
So because it's on the road.
For a road game, does it just have to be top?
75, I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
top 75?
Mm-hmm. So this would be a quad one win. Just a big resume check if you can go into Columbia and get a big win. One in Stripes brings up a really good point. James trying to rush to play in front of his family and friends. Let's hope it's not rushing. Let's hope he just does want to play in South Carolina where he's from. Charleston, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Quad
Porter God. Gordon. How you say it?
Gaud.
Gaud, yeah.
God? Port of God?
Yeah. Shot in the dark. I haven't woke up the vocal cords this morning.
Then you said Gord?
Gord, yeah, but it's Gaud.
Gordon.
I didn't know.
That Gord would have been possible. God, though. I mean, come on. Port of God. I feel like I'm watching Indiana Jones.
God, Gaud.
Only the penitent man shall pass. Dynamite drop in to Hudson. He's on it. Finally, Friday. We made it. Did you have something to add, Billy? Looked like you had a stat. You had a numerical number stat.
I was just going to update the listeners and ourselves. Quad one is home games against 1 through 30. Neutral games against 1 through 50. And then road games against 1 through 75.
We're in it. We're in the hunt. In the hunt for a quad one win. This would also tie league standings between the two teams, if I'm not mistaken. It'd be Tennessee with a win would go to 7-5 as South Carolina drops to 7-5. Yes, as I'm looking at that, I'll correct and give myself a pat on the back.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Palm has South Carolina on the bubble.
Really?
Not Tennessee.
Hmm. I mean, I feel like with a win... Wow, with a win, everything's the exact same. With a win, Tennessee goes to 15-10. They'll go to 7-5 in conference, and South Carolina would also be 15-10, 7-5 in conference. So does that mean if you get this win, you are on the bubble?
I would
potentially?
I think you're on the bubble. You're still probably on the wrong side of it, but I think you're climbing up there.
With a win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you switch spots. They have two quad four losses. I think Tennessee... Depending on where Georgia is now, only has one with A&M.
Man, that A&M game.
I don't even know.
Saw a lot of people talking about that. That one really, we said it at the time, that's going to be one that haunts you for a while, and it's still doing that. It's still just floating around you, making scary sounds, and you can't really do anything about it. Like those Dementors in Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. Steals your soul right out of your body. Scary, too. Like the Harry Potter reference.
Actually, A&M
Harry Potter guy
is quad three right now. So you don't have a quad, You don't have a quad four loss. South Carolina has two.
So with a win, we should be even more on the bubble.
You should be ahead of them, yeah.
If that's a thing, especially on the road.
Team rankings has us at 51 and South Carolina at 66.
Yeah, KenPom's got Tennessee at 58 and South Carolina at 72.
51-58, give us a win, jump inside the top 50. Okay.
They have us projected, team rankings does, with 17 wins on the year.
17? It's only three more.
Yeah, I guess they don't have you beating Auburn at all. They don't have you beating Kentucky.
Florida, probably, I'm guessing.
They probably don't have you winning Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Man, I don't know. I felt kind of weird about this game all week because... I do think this South Carolina team has gotten better. I also feel like Barnes does a good job of coaching against Frank Martin. Mm. He always seems to find a little something-something. And I realize that they've got who's their big guy, the 6'11", almost 7-footer?
Kotsar.
But he doesn't even really play the post. I mean, he rebounds, but they run him all over the place. Apparently he can guard 1 through 5. Big 7-footer. That's what Andy Kennedy was saying on the broadcast.
He can't guard 1 through 5.
That's what he was saying. And this guy can guard 1 through 5. It's amazing at his size how he does that. He's about to get in the top 10 in South Carolina history in steals.
They can guard 3 through 5.
Yeah.
they should match him up on Vescovi and prove it. That's what I'm saying. Prove it. Put him on Vescovi and let's watch him get
Andy Kennedy. Doped. He's giving him the.
He'd probably guard Bowden.
You could guard Bowden.
He's giving him the
Billy could guard Bowden.
The I coached against this player because he's so old treatment. Like I'm gonna give him.
I remember when he was a freshman here, 30 years ago. I don't know. Kotsar doesn't seem like one of those guys. I don't remember him that long ago.
Really?
Yeah,
I've been there forever.
There's some players in the league, year in and year out in every sport, where I'm like, how on earth is it, like the Wiley kid at Auburn? Is that it, Wiley?
Yeah,
he's been at Auburn.
Austin Wiley.
He's been at Auburn for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Renfro at Clemson. He was there for 10 years. He He was recruited on Dabo's first class and then just got to the NFL last year.
I told you the Renfro thing. It's because they had
Adam Humphries
before.
It's like Luke May. Luke May was at North Carolina for decades.
That's just because they had the Zellers.
Decades.
Kotar's only a junior.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't feel that way to me.
He does to me.
Did he redshirt? Is he a redshirt junior?
I don't know.
That would make a little bit more sense.
Also, Barnes is only 9-7 against Frank Martin.
Really? What's the record in the last four or five? No?
I'll have to do research.
Do you do your research?
I mean, he had some good teams at Kansas State. Barnes had started to kind of go downhill at that point.
Well, obviously, I'm just talking about him in South Carolina.
Well, you were 2-0 against South Carolina last season.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
So
whoever
has
the better team usually wins.
Tennessee's won four in a row.
Four in a row, at least four in a row. Keep hunting it.
And Barnes' second year, South Carolina won both games.
So, but you won four in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever has the better players usually wins.
Well, that was the year they went to the Final Four, wasn't it?
And you were 1-1 Barnes' first season.
What year was that?
I think they went in 2017.
So we're 5-3 against Frank Martin since Barnes has been here?
Yeah, you were 0-2 the year they went to the Final Four.
Yeah. I remember that year because I remember thinking, South Carolina's pretty good. I didn't think they were Final Four good, but they're pretty good. I always like, do you remember the video they put out last year about Rick Barnes where he gave Frank Martin the tour around Tennessee's campus and basketball facilities? These two guys are like best friends.
Yeah, they're buddies.
So was it like if one of them has to call in a favor this week, like is it Martin saying, hey, man, my team's on the bubble, like, you know, we could really use the help, or is it Barnes saying, hey, yeah, but we got a really difficult schedule. We really need this one in case we drop one, you know, to Kentucky again or Auburn twice. Who would be more willing to yield? I feel like it's Barnes.
Did Grant get that banner for Chris Silva?
Yep. Okay. It was Silva. SEC tournament, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grant got it, and they were trying to figure out how to get like some.
And then the NCAA was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. They were trying to figure out.
You got to buy that.
The thing was so massive. They were trying to figure out who could cut it like perfectly. Because the thing was like an angled, big, long diagonal cut, right? Because it was like the graphic.
Was it just South Carolina and Tennessee's logo, or was it?
No, it was them.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like Grant on one side and Silva on the other.
Were they playing for player of the year at that point? Probably. I think Silva was in the mix. Silva was really good.
It was really just between P.J. Washington and Grant.
They might have had other banners around.
That was 2 years ago, though, right? That wasn't last year, was it? I thought it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. They might have had other banners of other players around. They just had those two on the same.
Oh, no, yeah, I know. But I do remember Silva was a beast his last year at South Carolina.
2 years ago, I thought it was Mayton from Georgia that Grant was going up with.
Silva was even on the Final Four team, right? As like a freshman, young kid.
Mm-hmm. Man, he turned into a baller. Mm-hmm. Wasn't he like 6'9", Silva? Wasn't he a big guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
he was known for like blocking ability, just being super athletic and tall. I remember he had that game winner where he just pushed the Florida guy in the back on the full court heave.
Yeah.
Just dunked it. Won the game for him.
That was just a smart play. Just a little offensive PI. I mean, they would have called it in the Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah, he was a sophomore on that Final Four team. I thought he's starting to get good.
Well, how are we feeling? We don't have to make the prediction yet, but, I mean, seems like we might get Josiah. They're probably just keeping Pons low-key, making sure he's drinking the fluids, taking the Dayquil, maybe an IV if he starts to get a little dehydrated.
I want to know how we're going to shoot. Like, I think we'll get some open looks.
Over the head.
I think there'll be points to be scored. I'm afraid that if we don't, then they're playing well enough to.
So if we don't score enough, you're worried that they might score more than we do?
Yeah.
Is that your, that's the hot take?
That's pretty much the gist of it.
I mean, that checks out. I want to run some numbers during the break, but I think, Nate, you probably have stumbled onto something.
KenPom has a South Carolina win 69-66.
Man, I mean, it seems like every game it's 3 points one way or the other. This has been remarkable. The SEC is tight. It's close. I mean, what was the Kentucky line? 3.5 points, 2.5, and then it jumped to 3.5?
2.5.
Remarkable, really. I guess we can get into like the team breakdown, but
I mean, the last time these teams played was 56-55. It was brutal basketball.
Terrible shooting percentage.
That was the game Bowden went 1 of 17?
Yeah.
Yeah. So surely to goodness, he won't do that again. And that was when Vescovi was just kind of starting to figure it out. They played him less in that game after the LSU game. We got Plavsic now. We get Josiah George-James back. Pons is going to be just fine. He's French.
At the same time, I mean, A.J. Lawson didn't do anything. Like, their good players were...
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think this game will be nearly as difficult to watch as the first one, but I do think that it will be as tightly contested. Can Tennessee hit shots on the road, as Nate said, and can you find some way to slow down a, dare I say, surging South Carolina team?
Nah,
are they surging?
I think that's fair.
They've won 4 out of their last 5. The one loss was at Ole Miss. They beat Georgia by 16. They beat A&M by 20.
7 out of their last 9 dating back to the loss of, you know, when they lost to Tennessee.
I'm going
to
call that surging.
I feel like it was the year before they went to the Final Four. They went on some crazy run at the end of the year and kind of got onto the bubble out of nowhere and got left out because, again, it was a lot like this
team.
They did.
I remember that.
This team that they had lost a bunch of just really terrible out of conference.
Because when they went to the Final Four, they kind of got the sorry about last year nod to get in and get their seed. And then, whew.
I think you had it reversed. They started the year 15-0 the year before the Final Four. Yeah.
But the schedule was really weak. And
yeah, that was. And they got left out on that year, right?
Yeah, they went to the NIT as one seed.
Yeah. And then I think the next year was, hey, sorry about last year. You probably deserve to be in there. They were the one seed. They didn't win that, though, did they?
Mm-mm. No.
Did they win back-to-back under Odom? Back-to-back NIT titles?
Yeah.
Okay, got them to the Final Four. That was a question we asked a while back. Would you rather go win the NIT or go one and done in the NCAA tournament? Seems like winning the NIT back-to-back years.
That was a long time before.
No,
that.
I know. I'm just saying.
No impact.
We got to get there sometime.
We'll come back. Lots to get to. It's a Friday edition, Valentine's Day edition of the show. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Happy Valentine's Day out there.
Thank you.
Today is the day. If you haven't made your stop into Bradley's Gift and Home, it's time to do it. Chocolate dipped strawberries.
Hope it's not too late. That line might be wrapped around the building.
White chocolate.
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a...
Your one-stop shop for Valentine's Day. Bradley's Gift and Home, Cedar Bluff, 141 North Peters Road. Put that in your GPS and smoke it, as Russell Smith says. I know you like those addresses, Houston.
Big address guy.
Right there in between the Blaze Pizza and the Dick's Sporting Goods. Bradley's Gift and Home, your one-stop shop for all your chocolate and gifts this Valentine's Day. I was a little worried because I didn't have anything like this morning, you know, like, but both of us have to get, you know, get up early, get out the door. Figured I could, you know, surprise later.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure how that would, I mean, usually if it's like a birthday or something, you know, like, got at least a card ready like the morning of.
You didn't do a card?
Well, Valentine's Day has never been a huge...
Not a big card day for you?
Huge, huge day.
Not a big romantic?
I don't do cards.
My wife prefers...
At all?
She prefers the homemade...
Handwritten card?
Yeah, they're just not really a card, but a note.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a gimmick by the Hallmark industry to get you to spend more money.
That's what holidays are.
Valentine's Day, like...
That's not exactly true. I don't remember the exact origin of Valentine's Day, but they definitely turned it into a buy your significant other stuff day. But it's good. It's good for society to shower the ones that we care about with praise and gifts.
I'm fine with the cards if you're just like putting money in it for someone, like a graduation gift or something like that. Like that kind of makes sense, but just a card to go along with another gift. I'm like, eh.
No, but you write your thoughts on the card.
I'm fine with you writing.
Or you find a card that
your thoughts
perfectly
on, like, a sheet of paper and put it in an envelope.
But some people aren't that creative, so they need the card to spark the muse. Oh, yeah, this card is really thoughtful. That reminds me of this about this person. Here's your card.
My sister used to go and just take pictures of the card and then just write it herself.
Ooh. I think that's stealing.
What is...
I think that's intellectual property theft.
Is it if she doesn't improve her financial, she's not selling it.
If you're going in and taking a picture of it, it's one thing if you find something online.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because if I go in and say, hey, saw this great card and just repeat the line, that's intellectual property. And
yeah, you can't write happy birthday on a card. That's intellectual property.
Hey, don't mess around with the birthday song. We've gone over this a lot. If it plays the music, they've paid a royalty.
Apparently they make like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on that song. People accidentally playing it on the radio.
Dates back all the way to the Catholic Church when there was a priest named Valentine who was killed.
Nothing says love like that.
Yeah, what was he killed for?
That's one of the rumors. He was murdered. So now they celebrate his death, and his last name was Valentine.
With love.
Yep.
So you say, rise above hate, you know? go dog, go SEC.
Is it like cherish your loved ones because they could be killed by the Catholic Church at any moment? Is that the theme?
I don't think. First of all, I don't know if it was the Catholic Church that killed him.
I don't know. I mean,
he was just a part of the Catholic.
Yeah, I think they're just saying, hey, just remind those that you love that you do in fact love them. Today's a good day to do it
because they could pass at any moment.
Yeah, it was a good man. We really liked that guy. We should have told him more. From now on, this will be the day we tell people that we like them. Perfect. Makes sense. And then, yes, Hallmark jumped in with, you should get them cards and chocolates
and teddy bears. Apparently, before he died, he wrote a letter to the woman he loved.
Oh, man. See, this is...
If he was in the Catholic Church, I mean...
So, that's a good point. If he was a priest, is he allowed to have a woman that he loves?
Well, he's a saint, not necessarily a priest.
Oh, I thought he said priest. Did you say priest or saint?
Well, he became a saint after the fact.
Okay. Yeah, you can't be a living saint.
Yeah, 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 good point.
What
I was saying is anyone that's saint, it doesn't make them a priest automatically. Like if they became a saint, doesn't mean they were a priest.
But I mean, dates all the way back to the Catholic Church, and we're talking about a saint. Like usually saints are people that were involved in religious
matters. Sure, but it doesn't mean he had to be a priest.
Didn't have to be, but
Saint Diego.
It means
You can't say it. Probably shouldn't even try to. Don't even.
I'm not going to skirt the rules to try to get that one by.
So with the win, is Tennessee's record better as far as quality wins and losses, Billy, than South Carolina's? If they're on the bubble now, is Tennessee firmly on the bubble with a win tomorrow? 6 p.m. tip, by the way. Is that right? 6
yeah.
p.m.?
Yeah, that's correct. The
muy caliente.
Well, with the win, it would give them a quad one win, which would be... Three. Mm-hmm. South Carolina has three already. Tennessee would also have two quad two wins. South Carolina has two. The only difference I see is South Carolina has those two losses in quad four. Tennessee would have none.
No quad four losses.
And a tougher strength of schedule.
Tennessee's is tougher?
Yeah. Okay, good.
I think if Tennessee beats South Carolina, then they're both clearly out of the tournament. But I think if you wanted to play that game out and pick one, if you said, hey, who's more deserving of a tournament spot, it would be Tennessee.
Yeah, if you beat them twice.
The two quad fours, I think it would be a narrow edge to Tennessee, even if they had never played, if you could like pretend like the games against each other were against other teams at the same level. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they played each other in the head-to-head, I mean, that makes it a pretty easy call. If South Carolina wins, then you could theoretically say they're ahead because you're really picking quality wins over bad losses. You know.
Yeah.
They've beaten Kentucky.
Well,
we talked about how Tennessee's opponents that they've beaten have fallen apart. That's really hurting Tennessee right now.
Yeah, that's...
But you're going to have chances, so it really doesn't
bizarro,
matter.
Bizarro.
Really. It really doesn't matter.
But
I mean,
I also think that South Carolina, with this surge, if they win, that's 8 out of 10. I mean, that's... Committee loves those late-surging teams. That's what we're kind of hoping Tennessee turns into real quick. One of those late-surging teams. I think getting Josiah back will help that.
John Gassaway, who's an ESPN insider, put out last night an article relating to the bubble, and right now he says that there are 46 teams vying for 35 available spots.
46 for 35?
Yeah. I mean, that includes, like,
can you find,
all the other
it might not be there, but is it possible to find his list of 46? Like, I want to know who, what SEC teams are.
Yeah, I can give you his locks for each conference. And
but he doesn't have his, like, the 40.
Does he have, then, like, the locks and the maybes?
Let me scroll down to SEC, see what we get there.
KenPom has South Carolina finishing 19 and 12, 11 and 7.
And you said 17? For us, through KenPom?
And then I think that was a different thing that Davey was mentioning. But yes, KenPom also has us at 17 and 14, 9 and 9 in conference play.
He's not high on the Vols at all. He doesn't even have them in the work-to-do category.
Well, that's just lazy. I mean, look at this schedule. You're telling me we don't got work?
Well, if he's not if they haven't looked ahead, if they're only looking at resume through this point, it would make sense. I mean, Tennessee can't say, hey, put us in. We beat this team. Like, no one Tennessee's beaten looks good. I mean, the best teams Tennessee's beaten are still on the bubble. They're not even locks.
He has one lock for the SEC right now. That's Auburn. And then for the
one
who should be in. He has Kentucky, LSU, work to do. He has Arkansas. And this he talks about their like,
so is he essentially saying right now that if Auburn lost out, they'd still be in? I mean, what he's saying, I mean, by the lock?
What, 22 wins right now? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they would. Mm-hmm.
I'm just wanting to make sure what he means by lock. Yeah. He's legitimately saying if they lose out, they're still in.
And the should-be-in teams, it's like, well, if they kind of play out their schedule the way you'd expect, they're going to be in. They're pretty much locks.
And said work to do. He's got Arkansas. Then he has the Gators and Mississippi State. That's all he has right now. So that would put you with, for those, I guess those three teams with work to do, that would get you in with six teams in the conference if those three end up making it.
Well, the first step is just to
Florida
finish ahead of those teams. Beat Florida.
Florida gets Vanderbilt this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So they're probably going to go to 8-4 in conference, 16-9 overall. Tennessee with a win goes to 7-5 in conference and 15-10.
Mississippi State's projected by KenPom to finish 19-12, 10-8 in the conference. I mean, that
Mississippi State only has one quad one opportunity left on the schedule, and that's Arkansas.
And that is tomorrow at 1 p.m.
That's not true. I mean, they play at South Carolina. We just said that's a quad one.
I guess maybe the road game. Maybe they're thinking South Carolina at that point won't be a quad one.
Maybe. So Mississippi State 19-12, 10-8, and then who else did we say? It's funny, Alabama's projected to finish 20-11, but 8-10 in conference play.
Got to win some conference
games.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. That's Arkansas. Get my eight teams mixed up. So, like, I don't.
Yeah, Arkansas's 4-7 right now.
Here's the problem with Arkansas, though. They've lost four out of their last five. Hell, they've lost six out of their last eight. And the only reason they're projected to do that well is because KenPom has them winning six out of their last seven, starting with tomorrow against Mississippi State. So, I mean, you could see Arkansas not getting there, clearly. I mean, one of those is a win over Tennessee. One of those is a win over LSU.
Yeah, especially without Isaiah Joe. I don't know how the committee will factor that in, though. If it's close, do you put Arkansas in if you know they're getting Isaiah Joe back?
I don't know. We've been talking about that with Tennessee. Like, how much do they weigh in Lamonte Turner? How much do they weigh
but
in?
Joe's going to be.
No. I'm just what I'm back. Saying. But it's all the things, you know, about, do you blame them while he was gone? Or do you say, oh, well, they're getting him back? It's the same thing with Vescovi. It's like, oh, they lost Turner, but they got Vescovi, and he's getting a lot better. They went on a little run. Does that make up for, you know, a loss to A&M when you're still trying to figure everything out?
I like the fact. I wish they would still. It used to be last 10 was like an official, like, metric in the rubric of grading teams. I don't think that's an official thing anymore, but obviously they can still kind of count it as part of the eyeball test. But, I mean, I kind of like the how have you done in the last 10 games of the season. Like, I really don't. I would put more weight on beating a really good team late in the year than losing to some awful team earlier in the year.
I would agree. Especially, I don't know if the committee weighs that in, but Tennessee early in the year with such a new team, right? Mm-hmm. Very, very different than how they're going to finish. But the key to that is you have to finish strong. Tennessee's schedule doesn't exactly set up for that.
Well, yeah. South Carolina's the perfect example of that. They lost to Boston U November the 19th. Mm-hmm. Like, if they played them tomorrow, they're not losing to Boston.
I also lost to Stetson.
Yeah, those are going to hurt. Probably going to keep them out because they'll probably win half these, you know, win some of these games late, probably lose some, and that'll be enough. We'll come back with more. Final segment, hour number one. Stick with us on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one. Talking Tennessee, South Carolina, huge basketball game. Tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Colonial Life Arena. You know the nice thing is, I never thought those words would come out of my mouth was at some point during the season that this game would be like a massive game. I thought at one point it would be a hopefully a take-care-of-business game for Tennessee.
Well, maybe that's what it'll turn into.
Well, it'd actually be better for Tennessee if they're able to win it, that South Carolina's kind of climbed into the quad one road standings. Because really, you need all the little bumps you can get along the way. Tennessee is in a scenario pretty clearly now where they can get to the end of the season and at least make the "we don't have any terrible losses" claim. And sometimes, as the committee gets the last two, three teams in the tournament, they're looking for somebody that they can put in and then get on national TV and justify why they picked that team over another team. And sometimes, depending on the makeup of the committee and the commissioner, sometimes they'd rather pick a team with no, like as Billy said, no quad four losses. Well, Tennessee didn't have a ton of great wins, but they were consistent enough to not have any bad losses. And obviously, if Tennessee's in that conversation, it means they're going to have at least some quality wins here down the stretch. But that means you can't lose at South Carolina. You definitely can't lose at home to Vanderbilt because that's going to be, what, quad three at best? And then you've got chances, obviously, to get a quality win twice against Auburn, once against Kentucky, and then the Florida one, if you beat them, depending on how they do, that may or may not be it's definitely not going to be a bad win, but it may be a really good win or a pretty good win. Who knows?
Did you see the article on Sports Illustrated yesterday?
No.
About South Carolina?
I did not.
Yesterday, South Carolina received a notice from the NCAA regarding level one violations in their men's basketball program. Good timing. For Tennessee, yeah, I hope so. It's related to a bribe paid to former assistant coach Lamont Evans. The school released the NOA, which was dated January 31st of this year. The association charged the school, association obviously being the NCAA, with a single level one violation for Evans allegedly accepting at least $5,865 in bribes during 2015-16 from agent and runner Christian Dawkins. The bribes were in exchange for Evans arranging meetings between Dawkins and former Gamecocks guard P.J. Dozier and his family in the hopes of swaying them to retain the agency Dawkins was working for, ASM Sports, which was run by Andy Miller.
So this is part of that FBI shoe deal.
Yes. Interesting.
Evans formally admitted a year ago to $22,000 in bribes.
So is this enough to cause some concern for Frank Martin tomorrow on the bench? Is he going to be over there just nervous Nelly?
I doubt it. I thought this had been out a while.
I was trying.
Evans could be deported for this.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he's from Barbados.
Mm. South Carolina is now the sixth school to be formally charged by the NCAA. NC State, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Southern Cal, TCU.
So in South Carolina's case, there were no allegations of failure to monitor the program or head coach responsibility or lack of institutional control. So basically the NCAA is saying, we don't think Frank Martin knew about this.
I thought they got rid of that rule.
But in Kansas and North Carolina's states, they did. So, like,
I thought
they'll probably put Frank Martin in prison. And Bill Self will go to the Final Four this year. That's probably how this will go, right?
Creighton will neither confirm nor deny receiving a notice. Sometimes a no comment is worse than a comment. Just going to go ahead and throw that out there. Other schools known to be under investigation include Auburn, Louisville, Arizona, LSU, and Alabama. LSU, imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Stunner.
Strong answer. Chuck Person still waiting sentencing.
Yes.
The athletic director at South Carolina, Ray Tanner, says, as expected, this does not involve any institutional, current coaching staff, or former or current student-athlete eligibility issues.
So maybe nothing, but still good timing.
Got him to the Final Four.
It's a couple extra phone calls for that's probably true. A couple extra phone calls for Frank Martin, though, today and tomorrow that he probably doesn't want to.
Would you deal with some Rick Barnes articles like this and in 2026 if it meant we go to the 2022 Final Four?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially this exact verbiage here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A handler might have paid.
Rick won't even be coaching at that point.
Which one's the web school? Which one of our highly touted recruits?
Bell Buckle. Keon Johnson.
Is that Keon Johnson?
Keon, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like Keon Johnson getting a little sweetener to make sure he stayed in state.
Well, I hope he's getting it.
Was a South Carolina kid.
I'm okay with a little sweetener, a little Ricky Rudd duffel bag of cash, and a new tractor for Daddy.
Mm.
Or in, what was Penny's character's name? Can't remember, but his mom got a new house and a job with a corner office.
P.J. Dozier was the 6'7" true freshman from Spring Valley High School, Columbia, South Carolina, that went to South Carolina, paired up with Sindarius Thornwell, Chris Silva, and led him to the Final Four.
Yeah, if Keon Johnson leads us to the Final Four, I'm okay with this.
Actually, it might have been the next year. It was Dozier's sophomore year, but there you go.
Yeah, it took a year for everybody to, you know, get settled in. So no deal? You're going no deal? Small deal on this?
Small deal. Like, what? I don't know. What it is? Has anything happened to Kansas? That's the same case, right? Like, Kansas was much more Arizona. Those were the two big fish.
Arizona suspended, was it Archie Miller? What, for like 2 games and he came back?
Book Richardson was Sean an Miller. Assistant.
Sean Miller, yeah.
I knew it was one of them.
With Arizona, and he was recently, actually Thursday. So yesterday he got sentenced to 3 months in prison.
Hmm.
And Tony Bland, who was an assistant with USC, not USC Junior, but Southern California, he was sentenced to 100 hours of community service, but zero prison time.
I just need them to focus on Auburn and LSU is what I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really just need them to focus on those two. Alabama, not so much, because I don't – the Nate Oates hire is feeling kind of like every other hire they've made recently where you're kind of scared at first, and then it just doesn't really pan out because Bama's so focused on football that –
I'm waiting to see there. I'm worried if he gets good players, it'll be.
That's the thing. I don't. I think they've got all their money pointed towards football players. Oh, those Dodge Chargers aren't free.
They
are to the players, but not to everybody else. And what was Auburn's alleged issue? Was that person? Was he there too?
Yeah.
He's the one still awaiting sentencing.
But what was his? What was Auburn's involvement? Was he paying a handler also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's taking money from the shoe companies.
We got to just cut this out, you know? We just got to get rid of it. We just got to, like Auburn, LSU, Bama, they should all just have to start over. Louisville, too.
We'll come back, kick off hour number two. We'll take you around the nation and get you set up for the rest of the big games this weekend. Stick with us on 3 and Out.